Legend has it that the rainforests of Mosquitia hid La Ciudad Blanca, the White City. For centuries, explorers tried to find the fabled city in the jungles of Nicaragua and Honduras, protected by white water, coral snakes, stinging plants, and brutal topography. The White City remained an archaeologist's dream. But with the new application of recent technology, a documentary filmmaker, not an archaeologist, found the White City. In the New Yorker magazine, Douglas Preston tells the story of Steve Elkin's amazing discoveries. Doug Preston is an author and contributing writer at National Geographic, The Atlantic, and Smithsonian magazines. His piece, The El Dorado Machine, is in the May 6th edition of the New Yorker, and he joins us from his home in Santa Fe. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thank you.
And the El Dorado machine, well, it turns out it's an old Cessna with a new piece of equipment in it.
That's right. It has a huge box in it called a LIDAR machine, which basically can peer through the jungle foliage and map what's ever on the ground underneath.
And this LIDAR machine can penetrate even triple canopy rainforest.
It's absolutely incredible. It strips it out completely, and it can actually see something as small as a meter on a side sitting on the ground underneath this incredibly dense rainforest.
And this rainforest, it turns out, even sites that had been discovered by archaeologists before, that the LIDAR technique from the air found vastly more than the archaeologists ever suspected.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. It's a revolution in archaeology. They recently mapped the Mayan city of Caracol in Belize. And archaeologists have been mapping this city for 25 years. And they flew, for 5 days, they flew this machine over the city of Caracol, and they found that the archaeologists had missed 90% of what was there. The archaeologists had missed temples, pyramids, roads, terracing, caves, tombs, all. It was unbelievable what the LIDAR machine was able to see that the archaeologists had missed.
Well, that brings us to the story of the White City, which had been, an archaeologist's dream, as we suspect, as we said, for centuries, and, sort of a legend in Guatemala.
Well, it really is a legend. In fact, most archaeologists really didn't believe it existed. It was first mentioned by Cortez when he was exploring the coast. He heard about golden provinces in the interior, and there were a lot of Spanish rumors, and in the early part of the 20th century, a number of American explorers and adventurers went into the jungles of Honduras looking for the White City. They also called it the Lost City of the Monkey God. And there were a bunch of explorers who claimed to have found it, actually, but they were just finding large ruins. About 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, a scientist at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena noticed from looking at satellite imagery that this very remote valley in the mountains of Honduras showed what he thought were unnatural curvilinear and rectilinear features that might hide a city. But no one has ever been able to get to this valley. It's almost impossible to get there. The jungle is so thick, the mountains are so high, and there's so much dangerous animals and white water and so forth. So no one was able to explore this valley. So Steve Elkins managed to persuade the National Center for Airborne Laser Mapping, which is a group at the University of Houston, financed by the National Science Foundation, to explore the city from the air and map it, or map this valley from the air to see if anything was there.
And that raises a question. Some of the scientists you talked to sniffed contemptuously that this was an adventurer, an Indiana Jones type. This wasn't real science.
Well, there's a lot of controversy now in archaeology over the use of LIDAR. I mean, LIDAR is an extremely expensive technology. It cost $500,000 to survey this valley. And archaeologists are a very impecunious group. They don't have a lot of money. They don't have the kind of financing that some of the other sciences get. So they look on LIDAR as being too expensive. It's a technology that they don't understand, some of them. Engineers run it, not archaeologists. So there was a number of archaeologists looked askance at this search. They didn't think that anything would be found, or if they did find something, it wouldn't be very important.
Tell us a little bit about Steve Elkins.
Well, he's a filmmaker. He's an amazing person. He's one of these, he's a true adventurer. I guess He's sort of a kid who never grew up. I'm kind of like that too. I mean, I never stopped dreaming about finding lost cities and being the first one in Egyptian tombs and that sort of thing. And he's sort of like that. And he had fallen in love 20 years ago with this whole white city legend and had been trying to find a way into this valley where this JPL scientist had seen something for 20 years. And he organized an expedition. It was washed out by Hurricane Mitch. And then he heard about LIDAR and he said, wow, this is the way to find stuff in the jungle. Instead of slogging on the ground, let's fly over this valley and see if there's anything in there. So he called me up and he said, hey, do you want to be part of this expedition?
And you, of course, agreed and ran down to Central America and ended up as, extra cargo in the back of a very rickety old plane.
Well, you know, I have to be honest with you. I really didn't believe that they were going to find anything in this valley. It was such a crazy idea. I mean, and when I looked at the images that the JPL scientists have been looking at, to me, they look like a Rorschach test. I mean, you stared at it long enough and you could see anything in there. I mean, I could see Jimmy Hoffa's body if I looked long enough. But so I didn't think we were going to find anything. But I thought, well, gee, you know, I'm a journalist. I got to do my job. So they jammed me in the back of this plane. There was no place for me. They actually had to remove some safety equipment to get me in there. And we took off. We were flying out of the island of Roatan, which is off the coast of Honduras, deep into the interior mountains, absolutely incredibly remote. I just couldn't believe how remote this was. And so, you know, we flew to the mainland and inland and then picked our way through the mountains and then pretty soon arrived at this valley, which has never been explored. There's no evidence that anyone has ever been in there. And started mapping.
And it is amazing because the LIDAR shoots billions of bursts of energy down to the ground. And then there is computer magic that can measure exactly how far off the surface of the ground the signal is returned. So it can eliminate all the leaves and the wood from the trees and that sort of thing, and then give you a picture of the ground.
That's it. It's a very interesting technology. It's good. It shoots this 125,000 laser pulses a second down at the rainforest canopy. Now, it measures the reflections. Now, 99% of what's reflected comes off leaves. But here and there are tiny gaps in the canopy where a laser beam can reach the ground, bounce off, and go back up to the plane. And then with the massive software processing, they're able to remove all the reflections from leaves, leaving only the ground. And it's just incredible to see the scientists at work. I mean, you see this impenetrable rainforest canopy, and then with the press of a button, it disappears, and you see everything on the ground. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. They have to then process the signals that they've received back from the ground. As you say, most of them come back from leaves. And I think what they handed you the disk, and you flew it out and gave it to the computer guy.
Well, that's right. In fact, it is very complicated. The LIDAR machine has inside it a highly classified thing called an IMU, an inertial measurement unit, that was developed for the military for use in guided missiles. And in order to get an export permit for the plane, the State Department required that the plane be guarded by armed soldiers at all times when it was on the ground, because of this very highly classified piece of equipment. Because it's important to locate the plane in the air in three dimensions as it's flying to within an accuracy of about a centimeter. I mean, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So you rush this data off to the computer guy, and he did his magic. How did you, what did you, when did you actually see the picture?
Well, I brought it back to him that evening on the island of Roatan, and he processed it. He had to crunch the data. There was also data that had to come from Houston that had been collected by them. And all this had to be combined to make this map. And he was working till the wee hours of the morning making these maps. And then the internet connection was down, so he went to bed. His name was Michael Sartori, by the way. He was a really fascinating guy. But then he uploaded those images in the morning to Houston, and one of the directors of NCOM, this organization, this National Center for Airborne Laser Mapping, a guy named Bill Carter, was the first one to look at the images. And he was in West Virginia. He was about to go out and buy a refrigerator or something. And this email came in with these images attached. He looked at them and he said, "Oh my God," he was thunderstruck. He almost immediately saw in this valley pyramids, structures, buildings, all plazas, terracing roads. He saw this incredible amount of archaeological features that he recognized immediately, even though he's not an archaeologist.
So not just a lost city, a lost civilization.
That's right. He emailed Michael back at Roatan, and I'll never forget, we were returning from breakfast, and this normally phlegmatic, kind of skeptical scientist who was rolling his eyes at the whole idea that there was going to be a lost city comes running out of his room, racing in his flip-flops, waving his arms and yelling, "There's something in the valley, my God, I don't know what it is, but you've got to come look at it." So we all went rushing over to this room and looked at these images, and I looked at them and I was absolutely thunderstruck myself. I mean, there's no mistaking what we were looking at.
We're talking with Doug Preston, an author and contributing writer at National Geographic, The Atlantic, and Smithsonian magazines. He also writes for The New Yorker. The El Dorado Machine is in the May 6th edition. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And eventually, other target areas were also mapped and also revealed. Enormous structures, entire cities.
Well, that's the thing. Three areas were looked at, covering about 55 square miles of the jungle. Target 1, Target 2, and Target 3. And the first one was Target 1, and we found all these archaeological features that covered hundreds of acres, maybe even thousands of acres. I mean, this was gigantic. And then they moved on to Target 2, and they mapped that, and then they moved on to Target 3. And Target 3 showed even more striking features. And an archaeologist has been looking at them, and a guy named Chris Fisher, who is an archaeologist at Colorado State University, who's an expert on LIDAR, and he tells us that there's a city in T3 that is comparable in area to the city of Copan. It's absolutely enormous. It covers 5 square kilometers.
And if these valleys are so remote, how did these civilizations develop in this unforgiving area?
Well, that's the thing. We're only now starting to realize that this so-called virgin or impenetrable jungle in prehistoric times was anything but. It was very heavily settled. There were many thousands of people living in these areas, and it wasn't virgin jungle. It was more like a tended garden. They cleared huge areas for farming. They terraced, they built irrigation canals, they built roads, they built enormous pyramids and structures. And the idea that the rainforests of Central and South America, the soils were too poor to support major agriculture and large populations, turns out to be a false idea. In fact, even in Amazonia, they're now realizing that these supposedly impenetrable jungles in Amazonia were in fact heavily settled by people in prehistoric times.
And they are remote today, but not too remote to be of interest to loggers.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing. Illegal logging is destroying huge areas of the rainforest. And Honduras is, because these mountains are so difficult to get into, the rainforest has been sort of protected by the geography. But, a single mahogany tree can be worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars, and people are very poor. And so when we flew into these mountains, we could see incredible amounts of illegal logging, plumes of smoke rising as far as the eye could see. Now, when we actually flew into these valleys, there was no illegal logging. They hadn't been touched yet. They didn't seem to have been penetrated by human beings. But all around, surrounding it, you could see where illegal logging was just eating away at the jungle and exposing these areas to looting and destruction.
And in fact, you wrote that this city discovered in the T3 area, well, it might be gone, destroyed by logging before it can be surveyed by archaeologists.
Well, that's right. These areas are very vulnerable. These ruins, as soon as loggers get in there, they open them up and there's looting, destruction, fires, you know, they burn, slash and burn. There's agriculture taking place. And, you know, Chris Fisher, the archaeologist working with us, said, you know, gee, you know, we've got to get into these areas right away because who knows how long they're going to last.
And are there plans to send people in on the ground? And if so, are you going with them?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's a major expedition planned to one of these lost cities. They'll go in by helicopter, probably in the early part of 2014. And I'll be, they've promised me a berth on the chopper. So I'll be one of those guys setting foot into the lost city for the first time in 1,000 years.
Well, good luck and bring out pictures.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Doug Preston is a fiction and nonfiction writer and author and fellow of the Royal Geographic Society. His piece, The El Dorado Machine, is featured in this week's edition of The New Yorker. He joined us by Skype from his home in Santa Fe. Tomorrow, Gwen Tompkins and Trombone Shorty will join us to talk about New Orleans, its long recovery from Katrina, and its future with jazz. I'm Neil Conan. Join us for that conversation. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.